This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a podcast from Joy's jazz show, Bent Notes. Tune in live each Sunday night at joy.org.au.
Our special guests on Bent Notes are expat Australians now living in Paris, France, vocalist Jody Sternberg and trumpeter David Lewis. They'll be making their way to Australia at the end of the month for a couple of gigs following the release of Jody's brand new album. It is my pleasure to bid a very warm Bent Notes Aussie welcome to Jody Sternberg and a welcome back to David Lewis. G'day, Jody and David.
G'day.
G'day, David.
Oh, look at that. We've got an audience full of enthusiasm here. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with Bent Notes tonight. I believe that you are currently sitting in a cafe in Paris, and I think there's a few little sounds there in the background that just sound so nice.
It's actually a cafe in Bordeaux. We're in transit, heading off to the Atlantic coast to do a few dates the next few days.
I have a question. I'm sitting here dreaming about what you're eating at this cafe in Bordeaux, so just get a little rundown on that.
Oh, I could invent something for you.
Tempt his taste buds, Jody.
Oh, no. I just can't. I'm too honest. We just had a Perrier. Sorry.
Oh, that'll do.
A good way to start the day. Now, I should warn you that currently here in Melbourne, it's around about 9 degrees, I think. It's a little bit on the cool side.
Well, it's closer to 30 here, I think. We'll probably will get around that. Around 30 during the day. So, yeah, we'll be bracing for the temperature change.
Be looking forward to it.
Jody, was music part of your household when you were growing up as a child?
I would say in a way it was, indirectly. My father would listen to music and he did have a beautiful bass tone voice. He used to be a choir boy in synagogue.
Ah, so he would be used to the singing.
Yes, he loved singing. So I grew up hearing him sing. Sadly, though, whenever I would sing, my brother and other members would say, be quiet, don't sing in tune. So that's how I started playing saxophone, because I wanted to sing so badly. Yeah. I just thought, oh, sax is the closest thing to a voice. So I started playing saxophone and eventually, through saxophone, found that I couldn't play sax because of overuse injury. And when people heard my voice, they were like, you can sing. And it took me a long time to believe people that I could sing, but after some recordings and concerts, especially now, I can sing.
Well, that's proven. We've had listened to a couple of pieces already off the album. We've got another one to come shortly. It is a beautiful voice.
Thank you. It must have changed at some point.
Indeed. What do you think was the change? Was it the constant listening to music, playing the sax that has retrained your brain?
Possibly, probably, or maybe it's also just going from being a child to growing my vocal cords properly. Who knows?
Yes.
But it would definitely have some. The influences I had with saxophone were very much influenced by singers like Dexter Gordon, and I'm trying to think of the other ones, but Cannonball Adderley, he wasn't really a singer-inspired person as much as Dexter was. He always talked about knowing the words before you play. You have to know the words and you have to be able to sing it before you play it. And I loved that about Dexter. And so when I couldn't play because of the injury, I couldn't write, couldn't cut for food, couldn't open doors, the only way I could keep close to the lines and the music was by singing. And I suppose the singers I'd listen to as well, because when you play saxophone, I tried to emulate singers always. So I'd listen to Sarah Vaughan, Billie Holiday, Nina Simone, Abby Lincoln, a lot of wonderful singers. And I suppose it did rub off on me somehow.
Well, I'm glad it did rub off, because the voice now is well and truly something we should be listening to regularly. When did you decide that you should continue that career in France?
I'm initially from Sydney. I didn't know anyone at the conservatorium. I wasn't around the jazz scene there, but what made me decide to go to France, I would just say that I was really inspired by the world music scene here, the jazz-loving scene here, a lot of jazz people, and I really loved the French language. So for me, it was much more enticing than coming home to Australia and trying to play, I don't know, trying to keep playing there. I guess I was also looking for adventure in a way when I came to France. So, yeah, I don't regret it. I sing in French now.
How long have you been over there, Jodie?
Quite a while. It's been about 20 years. So I'm not that young a singer.
Paris has got to be one of the great jazz cities, doesn't it?
It is, because a lot of the jazz players came here from the States, where they weren't subjugated to segregation, etc. They were quite honoured, yep. And people really adored them and loved them, and it was wonderful. So there was a lot of jazz here. So many French jazz musicians are amazing, like Alain Jean-Marie, the pianist on my album. He's actually from Guadeloupe, which is one of the French islands. He's played with everyone. He's played with Chet Baker, Benny Golson, Abbey Lincoln. I can't think of who else. David, who else can you think of that he's played with?
Oh, he's literally played with everybody. So anyone you could think of who would have been on tour in Europe. I've heard him with Didi Bridgewater. Yeah, lots of people.
Lots.
Yeah.
It's interesting that we're talking about people moving over to France, Jodie, because in the last, what's been 7 or 8 years, Lee Barker and Heather Stewart have moved across to France. Hedy Cates moved across to France. So it's obviously the place to be.
Oh, come on, everyone. Come on, Aussie. Come to France.
Exactly.
Well, yes. Actually, a lot of the French musicians, when I play with them and they say I'm Australian, they say, oh, my goodness, another one.
Oh, and, right.
And it's funny because I was here before they all came, and it wasn't so common before 7 or 8 years ago. And now it's become more and more Australians are coming here, and very talented Australians at that. So it's no surprise they work with the best, and Australians are getting quite a good reputation here, I'm happy to say.
Well, that is very nice to hear indeed. And obviously, it's the skill sets of yourself and others who have gone across there who have set the bar, so to speak, so high to start with, and got the Australian culture known, I suppose, that people want to go and see Aussie jazz artists performing.
Yeah. Maybe, yeah, like David Lewis is one of them.
He is indeed. David, you've been in France for a number of years now. What was it that attracted you to go to France initially? Was it something about the jazz scene itself?
Initially, I came to France and studied at the conservatory, so I was actually doing classical trumpet. But I think overall, just as a sort of cultural mecca, Paris has always attracted me. My mother was a French teacher too, so I'm sure that had something to do with the initial attraction. As Jodie was saying, it's just an incredibly rich musical scene. Once I went through the conservatory there, I then branched out into all sorts of musical directions, and it's been just full of opportunities. I think that it's worth mentioning also that the French policy towards musicians, actors, dancers is very, very conducive to constructing a professional career, because there are quite a lot of advantages that we don't have in Australia in terms of unemployment benefits and just encouraging the scene. There's a lot of aid, a lot of subsidies for the arts as well.
It helps if you have European citizenship in the family, obviously, because just coming without that, it's very difficult. It's good. And not to forget either, I didn't mean to cut you off, sorry, David. I just wanted to mention the other attraction to France would have been cake and food and all that good stuff.
Of course.
So that Matt knows I commiserate with him. I know, well, you know.
Yeah, sorry to disappoint you there. You can get that in where you
anywhere,
are, in St Kilda, yeah.
Sorry. Didn't want to talk with my mouth full.
Well, thank you so much for thinking of us. Are you looking forward to popping out to Australia and spending a little bit of time at the Counts?
Absolutely. Very, very, very much.
Very much so. Haven't played there before, and it's obviously a beautiful club, a lovely lineup. So we're really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
What should we expect to hear, Jodie?
This voice.
A little bit of saxy sax and trumpet.
Marvellous.
Yeah. I have to mention that we're performing with the marvellous Mark Fitzgibbon.
Oh, yes, wonderful musician.
We'll be performing songs, a mixture actually, that will be some songs from Jodie's album that just came out, but also quite a few standards, some of them in French.
Quite a few, actually.
Quite a few in French.
Mm. Oh, beautiful.
Jody and I have been working on a project lately, which is a tribute to Eartha Kitt.
Oh, right.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful singer who worked a lot in Paris. In fact, I think she more or less started her career in Paris. There's a lot of songs, they're real gems in her repertoire, which combine English and French, which is really beautiful to work with.
Very charming.
Such a distinctive voice, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and personality as well. So it's just wonderful to be able to sing songs that she used to sing, mix that French and English. Because after some time in France, you become quite bilingual.
You're coming out to Australia to sing with a small group. The album is just with the piano. What do you prefer singing with? Do you like having a big band behind you or the smaller groups?
It's like saying, what do you prefer between, you know, small gatherings or big parties? I suppose there's a moment and time and place for everything. I do like the intimacy of smaller units in general. However, it doesn't stop me from also enjoying now and then something very different. Mm-hmm. For example, the Eartha Kitt is with, it's a quintet. There are four musicians and me. So that's slightly bigger.
Yep.
The intimate spaces, I suppose, give more space for time and for sound. For space. Miles Davis always said space is very important, and I agree.
There's some beautiful space out there at the Counts. Look forward to seeing you on that night. Thank you both for chatting with us here on Bent Notes, all the way from Bordeaux. It's been lovely to hear a little bit of your stories and a little bit about the music that you make.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you, David.
I really hope to meet you in person one day. And, when you come to Counts, we'll see you there.
Shall. And as we say goodbye tonight, Jody, we'll hear a piece from your new album, Castles in the Sand. It's the title piece. And our best wishes to you both for safe travel now and on your way out here to a successful gig at the Counts on the 26th of July.
Thank you so much, David.
Thank you, David.
Our special guests on Bent Notes have been Jody Sternberg and David Lewis. You're listening to Joy 94.9.
By the setting in the kitchen, mother's cooking something nice. We're sitting.
You've been listening to a podcast from Bent Notes. Join us live each Sunday night on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.